Renewable Kerry on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Renewable Energy Ireland. Energy powered by nature.
Yeah, our Renewable Kerry slot continues on Kerry Today. If you have any questions or queries, by the way, on renewables or anything in general we're talking about, get them into us on our numbers now. I'm delighted to say we have Marcus Byrne with us on the line, who's policy manager leading on all things on the electricity grid and markets for Wind Energy Ireland. Marcus, good morning to you and thanks for talking to us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. Very happy to be here and happy to be talking about the grid.
Yeah, I remember myself, my own perspective being younger. There wasn't a year certainly, or maybe a couple of months that would go by, but the power would go out and it would be out for a couple of days now, or maybe a couple of hours at various times of the year for various reasons. I know investment went in because things improved and there was less power outages. Things became more modern. But over the last number of years, there needs to be, and we've discovered and we're hearing the stories about it, there needs to be a lot more investment in it. Is that because things are modernising and that we're having to deal with resilience issues as well as, I suppose, the increasing demand for electricity and the load that the grid needs to take wherever it's located in this country?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think to start off, you have to look at our history with the electricity grid. You know, we've developed our electricity grid over the last 100 years. The state built the original Ardna Crusha power station back in the 1920s, and that really was the foundation of our electricity system. We've continued building it out and expanded, connecting, you know, peat stations historically and coal and gas plant. And now we're starting to develop more renewable energy like wind and solar. So today's grid really is the result of a century of development, and it was, for the most part, built for a different era. So what we're doing now is identifying the areas of the system that need to evolve. And we're very much dealing with the system built in the 20th century. So we want an electricity system for the 21st century. And Kerry is actually a really good example of how we've developed that system. So you mentioned some of the issues and struggles and challenges with the grid in the area, you know, in years gone by. Well, over the past 7 or 8 years, there's been investment in some of the key aspects of the grid in the area. And it's really strengthened up the grid around Kerry and Cork in particular, and it's reaping the rewards now. It's a very resilient part of the system now and has seen and accommodated, you know, more growth in wind in particular in the area. So it's been fantastic to see that development and really highlights what's needed for the rest of the country as well in terms of building up our grid system and ensuring that we have a secure energy system for the future.
Yeah, so Airgrid run the grid. They're in charge of maintaining it, but also in charge of developing it and, as you say, future-proofing it for the needs of the modern industry and modern lives we live.
Yeah, so Airgrid are responsible for the transmission system. And the transmission system is the equivalent nearly like your motorways on a road. It's there to bring power over large distances and in high quantities. And then we have ESB networks as well who are involved, and they're responsible for the distribution system. And the distribution acts more like the national roads. It takes energy from the transmission system or the motorways and brings it to our homes and our businesses and ensure they're powered.
Okay, and that's their part of the job. So how much electricity grid do we currently have? Obviously, it's not maybe sufficient to meet our needs. Why do we need more of it? Or how much more do we need? Is it possible to say?
It's somewhat difficult to quantify. When we look at our distribution system in Ireland, we have nearly 200,000 kilometres of distribution grid. So we have a huge amount there. I think one of the challenges we have is that while the grid works well today, it needs strengthening for tomorrow. You know, we as a country are changing fast. We're moving away from fossil fuels and using more electricity with electric cars and heat pumps. And our economy is growing as well. So to power this change, we need to build more wind and solar to keep that energy clean. So we very much need to identify some of these older parts of the grid that need to be modernized, that need to see an increase in capacity. And the key goal really is on developing an efficient and effective system for the future so that we don't have issues of congestion, for example, or wasted electricity in areas where the grid is a bit weaker.
Yeah, how will it work now in terms of, like you mentioned Ardna Crusha there and power plants, and we all know Tarbert Island and other areas where the electricity traditionally was generated largely through fossil fuels. We're moving to a different system now whereby we'll be getting electricity from different pockets of generation, whether it's wind, solar or others, and individual smaller micro generators like solar panels on someone's roof right mm-hmm. across the country.
Yeah, as you say, it's very much an evolving system. It's not just changing our grid to powering wind and solar. It's also the fact that we as Irish citizens, we're able to develop our own energy now. We can have rooftop solar and battery storage on site. So it's how we manage this energy system now with not just the grid side, but also the prosumer who is meeting their own demand. One thing to note, though, is we do have a really strong system today, and we are world-renowned in terms of our integration of onshore wind in particular already. So we have a good experience there. It's very much pairing all these different technologies along with things like interconnectors as well to ensure that we've a reliable system moving forward. So we've a good track record with wind and solar. Now we're starting to develop the services around it that help support these renewables as we continue growing further.
So what kind of services are you talking about there, Marcus? And where does battery storage come into that in terms of holding electricity that gets generated from whatever source and then feeding it into the grid?
So that's exactly the kind of technology that enters the services. So things like battery storage are key to, powering our system when there might be a drop in wind or a drop in solar as well. So we're developing more batteries in the system. They're there to quickly respond to changes in our system and ensure that it's always balanced. And we're also looking at other technologies that can help with other aspects of the grid system. So things that will help the inertia on the system. This might be something people have heard of, or even maintaining stable voltage levels as well. So there are a number of new technologies that are being deployed in the system that will help keep a very secure energy system moving forward.
And that those new technologies, is there anything that people individually can do, or is it more for the investment of ESB networks or AirGrid?
No, I think it's very much both together, Jerry, so that there's what's happening on the grid scale, but there's opportunity for all of us as individuals as well. You know, electricity bills and energy bills are reasonably high still. So looking at how we can generate our own electricity with rooftop solar and storage, these two technologies have never been cheaper and will continue to get cheaper. So the opportunity to produce your own clean energy is quite an interesting prospect, as well as how we can use energy. So things like smart tariffs are starting to develop and become a bit better at how we can utilize energy, for example, at nighttime when electricity is much cheaper. So having smart devices that are able to take advantage of these cheap rates is something that's been handed now, I guess, the power to the individual consumer.
And that's part of the picture, isn't it, that as that develops, as that maybe companies or suppliers get more attuned to developing what people want to do or where to go with it, then you have that opportunity there to change things, I suppose, not just to be doing it at the same time you always were doing it, but that you can save money by, you know, turning on and off your electricity at different times.
Exactly. It's very much about being active and participative there. So we're no longer just turning on the lights at times. We can still do that, but we're also being a bit more conscious that actually, rather than turning on the washing machine at, 5 p.m., we can delay it, turn it on before going to bed and take advantage of the cheaper night rates. So it is very much consumer behavior changing a bit to take advantage of these periods of cheaper electricity.
Okay, Marcus, when it comes to the overall picture, then you mentioned interconnectors. We just talked about the micro level there of people's homes, but the international picture and interconnectors. Mm-hmm. I know one was developed between France and Ireland recently. The whole idea is that you'll generate, and imagine through renewables as part of the picture, enough electricity for what you need here, but also at a different time. And it goes back to the timing of everything, that you'll be able to send electricity abroad. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah. So on the island of Ireland, we have three interconnectors with the UK at the minute. And we've the one that you mentioned with France will hopefully be coming online next year. They've started construction now. And these interconnectors are quite useful for, in particular, an island system like ours, where we can take advantage of not only our own renewable resource and export at times where we're generating more than we need in the future. We've also got the opportunity to import clean electricity or cheaper electricity during periods where we might not have as much wind and solar. So interconnectors very much play an important part part on the security of the electricity system as well. And it's why we're continuing to look at how we can utilize them better. And we're not alone in the international context, as you say, the whole of Europe is looking at how it can interconnect better and move power across the countries easier. At the end of the day, if it's not windy in Ireland, it's likely to be windy maybe in France or in England or even further afield. So how we can move this power in more efficiently is a positive step forward.
And you have to have the grid that enables you to do that, I imagine. The right level of wire, the more modern, less damaged, or maybe they can carry a heavier load?
Exactly. Interconnectors are part of the solution, but they're not a substitute for a strong domestic grid. So we still need robust infrastructure in Ireland to keep, you know, a secure and stable electricity system.
Marcus, one of the debates that always goes in, and a lot of this can go to planning, and you know, you need the electricity towers, you need the new wires, sometimes you need to do a new route or develop a new line. A lot of people ask, why can't it all be put underground in this day and age? But there are challenges there, technological challenges, is that right?
There are technical and economic challenges with it. I think in an ideal world, we'd look to put it underground everywhere as much as possible, but it's sometimes not feasible. Sometimes you're looking to put cables over mountains, for example, or hills, and the overhead lines are a bit easier. But when it comes to cost, like an overhead versus an underground cable, the overhead lines sometimes between 3 to 4 times cheaper. So it's quite a significant cost difference. And then there are the technical challenges. When you underground a cable, it can't carry as much power as an overhead line without some technical changes, and that adds to the cost and the challenge of its installation. So very much when we look to the grid of the future, it's not all going to be just overhead lines, but it will be a mix. So I think people need to understand that if we want that secure electricity system, we need to be more accommodating for more grid infrastructure on the island of Ireland.
I'd imagine if you have a power outage as well in a particular area, if your line's above ground, it's an easier, a quicker fix, is it? Rather than digging up the ground.
It absolutely is.
Do it that way.
It's much easier to find the fault. It's much easier to repair the fault and quicker. So if there were any damage to occur on the line, you're dead right. It would be much easier and quicker to repair and respond to it.
Okay, Marcus, I'm not sure you have the answer, but how much is this all going to cost us, do you think? The upgrade of the grid that we need to do? Or is that an impossible number to know for sure?
It's a bit difficult. You're staring into a crystal ball sometimes looking at where we will be in 20 years' time. But if we look at the next 5 years, we've seen strong support from the government and the regulator. And they've signed off on at least 14 billion euro being invested in the electricity system over the next 5 years. So we're going to see a real change in terms of the level of infrastructure constructed over the next 5 years by Airgrid and ESB Networks. They're going to be delivering on their plans to get to our 2030 targets. And that's really going to be a strong foundation for what we do into the 2030s in terms of achieving a net zero power system.
Yeah, Marcus, you mentioned earlier on about the work that's been done in Kerry recently. How important is that? And even from the point of view of if we have improvements to the grid here, that it actually works in our favour, particularly in terms of attracting outside investment or companies who are looking to locate, because it's one of the first things that they look at. What's the electricity like? What's the grid like? What's the power source like? Is it stable? Is it economical? Is it resilient?
Well, it's key, as you say, to new businesses and new demand that want to locate in the area. Some of the key questions are asking is how secure is that connection to the system? And also how green is that connection? So very much it's key to the jobs and investment in the area. You know, the grid upgrades and the renewable projects will have their own benefit in terms of job creation, but it's really in terms of the attraction of new businesses into the area where it's key. And that'll also drive, obviously, lower and more stable electricity prices, which is good for, obviously, the people of Ireland as well as the businesses that are looking to enter into the area. What we've seen, and it's highlighted, as I say, over the last few years, is a drop in the amount of wasted energy in the Kerry region. And that's as a direct result, really, in the investment in the infrastructure there. So it's a true sign of how well the area has been managed from a grid perspective and how that needs to be replicated.
And what do you mean by wasted energy? Is that you don't have the storage to store it for when it's needed?
Yeah, so what happens is if you imagine a bottle of water, you can only fill a bottle of water so far before it overflows. And our electricity cables are like that as well at times. So if you have too much power on the system, you have to turn down some of the generators. So we consider this to be wasted electricity. So this is something we want to minimize by ensuring there's always sufficient capacity on the system.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense. Marcus, listen, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us about that on the programme this morning. If you want to listen back to this lot, we'll have it on our website on radiokerry.ie. Go to the podcast section and click on Kerry Today. It's Marcus Byrne there with us on the line of Wind Energy Ireland, talking about the grid and where things are going with it.